Hello, this is your Polycast for Tuesday, December 30th. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom. Good to be back. Hope you had a great Christmas. 1 week from today in Washington, the new class of senators will be sworn in. On that same day, the Minnesota State Canvassing Board is hoping to wrap up the Minnesota Senate recount. That, of course, means it's unlikely that either Republican Senator Norm Coleman or Democrat Al Franken will be taking the oath of office along with the other newly elected senators. As the Senate recount continues, several meetings get underway around the state today to determine which absentee ballots belong in the recount. The Franken and Coleman camps have sharply different ideas about which ballot should be considered. Minnesota Public Radio's Mark Zedeklik has more.
Local elections officials have come up with roughly 1,350 absentee ballots they think were mistakenly not included in the November election. Under a Minnesota Supreme Court order, only ballots both campaigns agree were wrongly rejected can be opened and tallied as part of the recount. Late yesterday, attorneys for Republican Senator Norm Coleman told Minnesota Secretary of State's office staffers and representatives of Democrat Al Franken's campaign that they want hundreds more rejected absentees in addition to those local officials have identified to be considered for possible inclusion in the recount. Coleman attorney Tony Trimble says Coleman wants to make sure that every single wrongly rejected absentee ballot ends up in the tally.
Statewide, there's another 654 that we feel bear further review to make sure that the ballot treatment has been consistent in each county. And we have some reason to believe that some counties might have rejected certain ballots differently to others, and it just bears a visual inspection, very quick visual inspection, to make sure that that hasn't occurred.
Franken attorney David Lillehog balked at the Coleman side's plan to add hundreds more rejected absentee ballots. Lillehog noted that it was the Coleman campaign that asked the Minnesota Supreme Court to block the counting of any wrongly rejected absentee ballots. The Franken campaign has been proposing that both campaigns agree to limit the pool of rejected absentee ballots to the roughly 1,350 identified by local elections officials.
You heard us say we would agree to have all 1,350 opened and counted. No more additions, no more objections. Let's get it done. I think people are probably ready to have this recount over. They're ready to have absentee ballots opened and counted. Now is the time to do that.
For its part, the Franken campaign identified 85 additional rejected absentee ballots it wanted added. Secretary of State Mark Ritchie says under the procedure agreed to by both campaigns and approved by the Minnesota Supreme Court, any ballots beyond those identified by local officials could be considered only if both campaigns agreed to include them by yesterday afternoon. Ritchie says because that did not happen, only those roughly 1,350 rejected absentees currently on the table can be the subject of discussion as to whether they should be sent to his office, opened, and added to the recount tally.
There are 12 meetings around the state today, tomorrow, and Friday. At those meetings, the representatives of both campaigns and the local election officials will be finalizing the list of the wrongly rejected absentee ballots that will be forwarded to our office here in St. Paul by Friday.
Under the process, Ritchie's office must count the wrongly rejected absentees by Sunday. He says both campaigns will then have a chance early next week to challenge any ballot decisions his office makes before the state canvassing board.
I'm guessing it'll take both Monday and Tuesday to get through all of the challenges and all of the little details that still remain. But if we have to go past January 6th, we are prepared to do that. But we also believe that we are near the end of this phase of the process.
The end of the process would be the canvassing board's certification of the recount. But that does not mean the battle between the Coleman and Franken campaigns will be over. It's expected that the loser will contest the election in court. Mark Zedeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News, St. Paul.
Many state court budgets around the U.S. are in financial trouble. With Minnesota and other states projecting big deficits, the courts can also expect deep cuts. Minnesota Public Radio's Elizabeth Stowicki reports that while Minnesota's court funding situation is one of the worst in the U.S., it is by no means the only system struggling.
There had been hope in state legal circles that with a new Chief Justice at the helm, Minnesota's court system could regain some budget ground it had lost in the past several years. Chief Justice Eric Magnuson and Governor Tim Pawlenty are former law partners and enjoy a personal relationship close enough to kiddingly malign each other's lack of prowess catching fish. For the past several months leading up to the budget forecast, Magnuson was vocal that the court budget was already cut to the bone. It's $19 million in the hole and needs another $54 million in the next biennium just to keep pace. But there was no law firm camaraderie or fishing humor a few weeks ago when the governor singled out the court's request as out of line.
If you look at that request, about $37 million of the $54 million is for increased salaries and benefits for existing employees. If you think about today's economy, I don't know that they should be expecting significant pay raises and benefit raises and pension increases when the rest of Minnesota isn't getting those.
If Minnesota's court system has to cut into the marrow, it will have lots of company. Dan Hall of the National Center for State Court says right now about 17 state court systems are facing serious budget deficits, and that number will grow by 2010.
Florida, Minnesota, Arizona, and California are taking some of the most dramatic hits. The New England states, which are smaller in budget, have taken a number of steps. Like Maine, for example, is no longer staffing their magnetometers as people enter courts. Massachusetts has cut all judicial training.
In states such as Utah, revenues continue to fall, and the governor has just submitted a plan that calls for cutting the court's budget by 7% on top of a 4% cut. Utah Courts Administrator Dan Becker says because the biggest expenditure for courts is staff, it cut its remaining 18 court reporters.
We rely very heavily on digital recording equipment, but after July 1st, we'll rely exclusively on digital recording equipment. That was a very difficult reduction to make, but in the instance of court reporters, we did have another way of capturing the record, and so we had to make that difficult cut.
The court budget in Florida is one of the worst in the country, not only because it has had a hiring freeze for the past 4 years, but it also has one of the highest mortgage foreclosure rates in the country. In the past 3 years, mortgage foreclosure cases have more than tripled in Florida, which exemplifies one of the main problems court systems face in bad economies. Cases like mortgage foreclosures go up while states cut funding for the personnel to process those filings. 3 years ago, Florida's courts processed more than 90% of its mortgage foreclosure cases within a year. Now, it can handle only about 40%.
My name is Charles A. Francis. I'm the Chief Judge of the Second Judicial Circuit of Florida and also serve in the capacity as Vice Chairman of the Trial Court Budget Commission for the court system of Florida.
Francis says because revenue projections are worse than expected, Florida is on the verge of multiple cuts.
Although budget cuts have already taken place early in the year, we are now going through exercises for further budget cuts for this year, and also getting ready to go into the budgets for next fiscal year, which would require these budget cuts plus another round right on top of them. So it is quite grim.
On the same day that Governor Pawlenty singled out Minnesota's court budget request, Chief Justice Magnuson released a statement that said that he looks forward to, quote, working with the governor and the legislature in the upcoming session to preserve the effective operation of this core government function. The legislature is back in session January 6th. I'm Elizabeth Stawicki, Minnesota Public Radio News, St. Paul.
And that's your Polycast for this Tuesday. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.